Did you know that 30 to 60% of childhood sexual assault is perpetrated by other young people? And just last week, there was a terrible case in Sydney of 12-year-olds accused of assaulting a 6-year-old at school. So what can be done to prevent young people from becoming abusers? Today, Bravehearts launched a program to identify and prevent these behaviours. Hetty Johnston is the founder and chair of Bravehearts. Hetty, hello.
Hello, Kelly.
People might be actually taken aback by that, about just how many of these assaults are actually child upon child. Did it take you aback when you were first introduced to these figures?
Yes, it was shocking, but that was over a decade ago, well and truly now. So we've become accustomed to that's just what's happening out there. And we've got families, Kelly, who have one child who is exhibiting inappropriate sexual behaviours toward another sibling, and the parents are perplexed. They just don't know what to do, and there's nowhere for them to go, and they're just very distraught. And we've known this for a long time. Also, incidences in schoolyards and daycare centres, and it's just a very difficult area. It's a gap we needed to fill because it is about prevention. And so Bravehearts decided, with the help of a charitable foundation, the Erica Foundation, to get this off the ground.
Hetty, how do we begin to identify young people who could be at risk of committing sexual assault?
Well, I think we're predominantly approached by other agencies, by schools and by parents themselves. I mean, I think if parents know if their children are exhibiting inappropriate sexual behaviours towards another child, and we get many phone calls of parents saying, "Well, my child's just done this, or this has just happened to my child. Is that normal?" And we all help those parents, and we always have over the phone. But when those behaviours are, in fact, problematic behaviours, there is really nowhere to refer. Certainly, no agency that we could, at large, refer these children to. So we decided there's private practitioners out there. Wonderful, wonderful people who do their best to meet this demand. But of course, look, Kelly, we've only just been talking about this with the other agencies, and already, we're smashed. We've already got a wait list, and we haven't even started a wait list.
You know, it's one of those subjects, isn't it, that is almost still taboo, and there are so few of them now that it's surprising to come up against one. But obviously, I have no doubt that what you're saying is true, that that the lack of preventative programs is also a big issue for people. We actually, support for victims, absolutely. Nobody would argue that they're not needed. But it'd be nice to be able to prevent them first too.
Absolutely. And the thing is that we can. There's so much hope for these young people. We know that many offenders, people who do adult offenders, began their behaviour as adolescents. Mm. And it was an uninterrupted cycle. And they've progressed down this line. Many don't, but many do. So there is an opportunity here to stop young people who might otherwise go on to become offenders, to actually stop that cycle right now. And I don't, that's all about prevention. Prevention is about stopping offenders from offending. In this case, we're stopping young people who may become offenders from heading down that path. And it's just such a crucial thing to do. And, we're really pleased that we're filling this gap.
Yeah. Hetty, do we know what makes some children assault others?
Because I think it's for all different reasons. Some children are coming from fairly difficult households, where maybe there's domestic violence, there's other things going on in their home. Mm. People do things for different reasons. I mean, our children are being bombarded by in every medium with adult sexual imaging. Images and also, ideations and things like this. I mean, these kids will take that on. They can't avoid it. It's everywhere they look. It's on their iPad, it's on television, it's on the radio, it's in the books. It's absolutely everywhere. And we know that if our children's favourites are smoking cigarettes, their stars, the people they look up to, their idols, then it's likely that they will mimic that behaviour. Kids are curious. Mm. Young people and kids are very curious. So if they're seeing these images, if they're seeing this pornography online, and they're hearing all this conversation about sex and and about sexual matters, then they are curious and they are acting out, and we shouldn't be surprised.
How will the program work, Hetty?
Well, people will refer to us, or their families will self-refer. We've already got plenty of referrals from within the justice system, from other NGOs, from police, just all over the place. So these young people will come to us, and we will work with them therapeutically, and help them to understand, you know, why they're doing what they're doing, and to help them to stop doing it, basically, and to understand the ramifications of that. But much more than that, and I'm not a therapist, so I can't speak to you at the, from the clinical side of things. We also go into their homes, particularly if the problem in the family is that there is one sibling acting out against another sibling. Then we'll go to their home and we'll do an environmental check in their space and just help that family to stay together. Imagine Kelly, that you're a mum and one of your children has perpetrated some harm against another, and they're fearful of each other. These families are currently breaking down all over the place. So what we need to do is put some measures in place to help those young people and bring that family back together where it's safe to do so.
Have a similar programs had success overseas or just elsewhere, Hetty?
Yes, indeed. I mean, there's no 100% success rate anywhere, and we'll never. We can aspire to that, and we should never stop aspiring to it. But it's unlikely. Mm-hmm. However, their success working with young people, this cohort is fantastic. It's the best hope we've got. We've got to get these young people when they're young people, and we've got to try and steer them away from this path. And for the most part, that is absolutely possible and very, very successful. So why wouldn't we? I mean, we have to. This is about prevention is about protecting children against sexual harm, and that means preventing offenders from preventing. And in this case, it's early intervention prevention at its very core.
Hetty, this program's for young people. Are there preventative programs for adults who might know their feelings are inappropriate and want to stop themselves from offending?
There is, but again, they're fairly ad hoc, but they're out there. I know Dr. Warwick Middleton runs programs like that, and he is an exceptional therapist, an exceptional man doing an amazing job trying to work with these this cohort of people, the adults. That's not our space. We're working with children and young people. Look, maybe it will be one day, but certainly there's no capacity for us at the moment to be thinking about working with adults, and I think there's others in the sector that do that already. So we would be supporting them and trying to, broaden their remit, if you like, rather than trying to fill that one ourselves.
So, Hetty, I mean, there must be people who say, wait a minute, Bravehearts works with victims. What are you doing helping perpetrators or possible perpetrators?
Yes, we've heard that, Kelly. We've heard that many times. And the answer is we're doing what Bravehearts does best, and that is we are preventing child sexual assault. And part of that is working with offenders or people who are exhibiting sexualised behaviours, young people, to try and stop them from offending. So we've always been very, very supportive of all programs that work with adult offenders, because what we know that if we can stop an offender from offending, then we are preventing child sexual assault and we are protecting children. So this is all about children, and these young people are just children and young people, and they deserve all the help we can get. And so that's why we are committed to making sure that these young people grow up healthy and safe, both for themselves and for everybody else.
Yeah. How young can children start to exhibit these behaviours?
Well, children as young as, in preschool. We're seeing children in preschool. What's happening is, Kelly, we're in the preschools with our Ditto education program. We're teaching kids about their private parts in a way that doesn't frighten anybody. It's done through song. It's lovely. So we teach kids what their private parts are. We teach them if they feel unsafe or unsure that they should run and tell somebody. And that's exactly what they're doing. And so parents are now starting to find out very early if they've got a child there that's exhibiting sexualised behaviours, and we can start asking questions as to why. Predominantly when they're that little is usually because something inappropriate is happening to them, or they've seen something inappropriate. So it's, we've been able to help families to prosecute offenders and to save their children just through that Ditto Education program on more times than I can count. It's highly effective. It works. It's safe. It's fun. And it empowers young people to speak out. And when they do, this is the next step. If the person that's committing these offences against them is a young person, then we're then able to come in and help that young person to stop that behaviour. So it really is a very holistic approach, and one that doesn't demonise these young people. We cannot do that because they're just young people acting out behaviours, and we just need to help them, not demonise them.
Are there any signs parents can look for from kids that might be at risk of offending, behaviours that might ring a bell?
Yeah, well, I think most parents would recognise it if your child is spending a lot of time, looking at porn. If you get their device and have a look at it and see that there's a lot of interest in adult sexual imagery, that's a concern. Doesn't mean that they're an offender, of course, but it means that there has to be some sort of intervention there. And we get a lot of that ask calls for that from a lot of parents who say, "Can you please talk to my child that this is happening for him or her, and we need you to work with them."
Yep.
Or, of course, if they're behaving in an inappropriate sexual way above and beyond their years, or with knowledge above and beyond their years, then that's also a concern. It just needs to be looked at. I mean, don't panic, I would say, but let's get some help. Let's get in there, let's find out what's going on and redirect that behaviour into something, positive and helpful.
Hedy Johnston, if people are listening this afternoon and they are thinking they need to get in contact, how do they do that?
The best way is either, probably on our phone number, our 1800-272-831. That's the Bravehearts information and support line, or online, bravehearts.org.au. The service doesn't start for 3 weeks. I have to warn everybody too, Kelly, and already there's been a high demand, and we've only got one very amazing therapist at the moment to start us off. So we're going to do the best we can with the resources that we have.
Yeah, well, all power to you, the organisation, and we wish those families all the best, and we hope they get good results for their families.
Thanks, Kelly. Really appreciate it.